Brother Muncy, thank you for inviting me to come and speak. I tell you, this has been a refreshing time for me. I have, for the last nearly 40 years, been a worker. I like to work for the Lord. I've stayed busy. I've been to the Ukraine, traveled to the Ukraine, took groups. Hope tomorrow night I want to preach a message that I preached here the first time and share my testimony, how I came from Orthodox Judaism to know Jesus Christ as the Messiah. But I've worked, and God has blessed. I've been to the Ukraine 65 times, took large groups, 40 people or more. Went to Israel a number of times. And now for the last 15 years, I've taken large groups to Cuba to work there. And God's blessing and still blessing. And I have a lot more work that I hope and God will allow me to accomplish in the days ahead. We've started 5 new churches in Cuba. We have a plan to start 50 new churches. There are cities in Cuba where there's over 15 to 20, up to 50,000 people, that there's not even one Baptist church. Just imagine, 90 miles from the coast of Florida is a country where there are cities with not even one Baptist church. And it's our goal to start churches and help missionaries. I had a blessing occur this past week. We have a new missionary that we put on a new field called La Salute. And this missionary and his wife surrendered to go there. They were walking 20 miles back and forth to get to the mission field. Then they were riding bicycles. And it's a hard, 20 miles is a far piece to ride a bicycle back and forth to go to a mission field. And so I presented it in the church, and the pastor said, what do they need? I said, they need an electric motorcycle. We get an electric motorcycle for $1,800 so that they can ride back and forth to the mission field. That's pretty cheap, $1,800. Get good, you know, mileage on the battery. And so they've been going back and forth. They baptized a number of people here recently. And now they have a congregation starting in a small town in Cuba, and don't have a permanent meeting place. Well, last week I spoke at a church in Cincinnati and showed a video where I had presented the need prior to this to purchase a house for a missionary family in Cuba. The house with property, $10,000. And I showed the video last week of a previous request we had to purchase a house. And after I shared the video, the pastor told me today that a couple in his church saw the video and they knew that we were trying to find a permanent meeting place for this missionary in Cuba. And he told me this couple in his church just gave a gift of $10,000 to buy a new church for the missionary in Cuba. And God is blessing. God is working. And what excites me the most, and I told my wife this tonight, and I don't know if it's wrong, if I'm making a sin by saying this, I was jealous. And the Bible says there, he said you're supposed to provoke the Jews to jealousy, so apparently he knows what that godly jealousy is. I said, I'm jealous these young missionaries, these young people, and I'm excited for them to go on the mission field. And I said, I wish I could go back and start all over again. But you know what? I'd probably do the same thing. But you know what? I'm not done. Victoria, we're not done. We've got a lot more to do. Amen. Told the pastor that, especially since the pastor, I told him, we were talking about it, and he asked me how old I was. I told him. He said, you're just a kid. It always amazed me how somebody can say to me, you're just a kid, when I'm not that far from being 70 years old. It's amazing. Just a kid. I'm a kid in my mind. Brother Fleck, you're still a young person in your mind. Still feel like I'm still a teenager in my mind. My body doesn't keep up that much, but my mind is good. If I just drag it along, we'll be okay. So tomorrow night, please be here. And I want to share a message I think will be interesting. Share my testimony and talk about some of the ministry. And we'll see how that goes. Tonight, if you have your Bible, turn to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel 9. Daniel chapter 9 is a very important chapter to use when you're witnessing to Jewish people. Because in Daniel chapter 9, it talks about the 70 weeks of years of the coming of the Messiah. And it's interesting that I was witnessing to a Jewish man in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And we were talking about Daniel chapter 9. And I explained to him how Daniel chapter 9 shows, and if you study it out, you can find out and calculate exactly from when Daniel was talking about until the coming of Jesus. You can calculate it out completely to the very day when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. And so this Jewish man and I were talking. And we kept witnessing. I witnessed to him. Here it is, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm still witnessing. He's arguing with me. And I said, let me show you what it says. And he said, and there's a verse of scripture in verse 26. It says, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. In the Jewish Bible, it says the anointed one. And I said, well, you know, that word, anointed one, is not translated properly in their Bible. What do you mean? I said, because it's not that word in the Hebrew. I happen to have studied Hebrew for 5 years. And in that verse, 26, the verse says Messiah. And I pointed it out to him, and it says the word in Hebrew is Mashiach, Mashiach, Messiah. He looked at that, he said, in the Hebrew, because he could read a little Hebrew, Mashiach. He said, I see that. I see that. I said, since you see that, don't you think you should accept Jesus as your Messiah, as the Mashiach? He said, yes, I should. And he did. Amen. 2 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Daniel 9 is a very important chapter. If I had the time tonight, and I'm not going to, but if I had time, we could calculate this out. And I can show you exactly from the time of Daniel's prophecy until the day that Jesus arrived in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. But I want to share with you some verses right here. Verse 26, we'll start with that. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, killed. But not for himself. Of course it wasn't for himself. It's for us. And the people of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city. And they did in 70 A.D. And the sanctuary and the end thereof shall be a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. That doesn't mean 7 days. We're talking about a period of time where it mentions 7 years. A week in the Bible is 7 years. You say, how do you know that? Well, when Jacob was serving and he had to get his wife, and the first time he got fooled, the second time he said, you'll have to work out her week. That was 7 years. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Jews are going to start sacrificing after the rapture occurs. They're going to be back in the temple and they're going to be sacrificing animals, which will do nothing for them because the final payment has already been made. But he's going to make them cease that sacrifice because the overspreading of abominations shall make it desolate. He's going to do just like a previous prince did, and he's going to probably sacrifice a pig on the altar in the Jewish temple. And he shall make it desolate, and unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That's going to be an interesting time. Soon coming Middle East peace process and agreement. You know, Jerusalem means the city of peace. But the history of Jerusalem is a history of war and destruction. Thousands of years have gone by. Sounds of war and arms have been heard in Jerusalem for 3,000 years. Even today in the Middle East, a large explosion and nobody even knows what was really caused by that. Almost looked like an atomic bomb in a way. If you hadn't seen that, it blew up a big part of Beirut, Jerusalem, Lebanon. 25 people at least killed. It looked like an atomic bomb. And guess what? I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow they don't say that Israel bombed Lebanon and a Middle East war starts. That's how it starts. From the time until David until now, Jerusalem's been besieged 50 times and destroyed over 32 times. It's been burned to the ground 5 times. It's always risen from the ashes. It's been the scene of 6 wars since the Independence Day of 1948, and today it's the site of the most volatile military and religious problems in the world. I've been to Jerusalem 15 times. It doesn't look like anything you really want to fight over. It looks like a lot of rocks, a lot of mountains, a lot of desert. The Jews have desired peace with a promise that began with Moses in Leviticus 26:6, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And they've been hoping for that peace for many years. The Jews were taught to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Psalm 128:6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Psalm 147:14. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth the air with the finest of wheat. But since their dispersion, they've longed for peace, and yet none has come. The Crusades, an attempt to take over the Middle East, to convert it to Catholicism. And then Hitler's Holocaust of the 30s and 40s. I've studied so much about that. I've been to the concentration camps in Poland. I've seen Holocaust survivors. I was in the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C., and they have an actual train car that was there at Auschwitz. And I walked in that little train car where they held 30, 40, 50 more Jewish people inside there, taking them like cattle to Auschwitz to gas them immediately. And inside that train car was a little man, short. And I walked in, he was standing there just looking around. And he said to me, I was in one of these. I didn't know what to say to him. A man who went through tremendous torture. 1948, the establishment of Israel, and immediately the war began almost immediately with all the Arab countries coming across Jerusalem, but God delivered them. 1967, again, a war, a 6-day war. 1973, Yom Kippur, the holiest Jewish day, the Middle East. The Jews are fasting. The Jews are not worried about anything but focusing on asking God to atone for their sins. And here the Arab countries fight them again, and it was by the grace of God, and believe it or not, through the help of Richard Nixon, that the Jews were delivered. You know, Richard Nixon, we know him as the disgraced president who resigned in 1974, but not many people know that Richard Nixon's mother loved the nation of Israel. And she told him, one day, Richard, you're going to do something very important for Israel. In 1973, when the Arab countries were coming against Israel, he got a phone call at 2:00 in the morning from Golda Meir. Mr. Nixon, President Nixon, can you help us? We need your help. And Richard Nixon mobilized tons of military equipment and sent to Israel. And in a short time, the Jewish people were delivered from that war. Amen. Today, even today, they're surrounded with trouble. Israel is seeking peace. The key verse should be Jeremiah 8:15. We looked for peace, but no good came. And for a time of health, and behold, trouble. The Jewish people passed up the real peace treaty. They passed it up. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. John 1:1 said he came unto his own, the Jews, but his own received him not. They came to the Jewish people, and they rejected him. Today, you go to talk to Jewish people, by and most, they reject what you have to say. We don't want to hear it. We have our own religion. We're not going to go over to the side of the enemies. You have your own religion. You practice your religion. We don't want to hear about it. And most Jewish people, if the truth be known, are afraid to accept Messiah because their parents warned them as a child not to have anything to do with a Christian. I remember very clearly on a Hebrew school bus, I heard a boy say the name Jesus Christ. He wasn't saying it reverently. He said it irreverently, as a lot of people do. And I went home and asked my mom. I said, what does that mean? Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? My mom said, that's not for you. That's for Christians. Stay away from those people. If you see a Christian, cross the street. Walk on the other side of the street. And I was taught, don't go to them. Now, they're very strict in their wanting to keep together. The Jews passed up the true peace treaty. You know, man cannot have peace with man until first he has peace with God. That's going to be the key. The Jews today reject Jesus for the most part. Thank God some are being saved. Many are being saved. Many Jewish people. The world wants to force a peace treaty upon them. You think just because this COVID-19 thing is going on, that they're not trying to force the peace upon Israel. You just be assured as soon as this ends, they're going back to try to force peace with the Jews against the Arabs and make them give up more land. And when they do that, look out, whoever does that. Over and over, attempts have been made for Israel to make peace with its Arab neighbors. So far, most of all failed. The condition for peace in Israel is they give up what little land they have. Here was an article from Israel Magazine today. Palestinians, this is what they said. Peace process should erase Israel. So that's what they want. They've conducted another public opinion poll that shows the same results before, that Palestinians support the peace process except it ultimately results in Israel's eradication. They want them gone. They call it occupiers. They're occupying. You see, the Arabs believe that any time they've ever occupied a land themselves, that land belongs to them. And they believe the Middle East, Jerusalem, most of Jerusalem belongs to them. But here's the headline for tonight. The Jews will sign a major peace treaty. It will not be with the Palestinians, but with a world dictator called the Antichrist. Some 40 billion people have lived on this earth since Adam was created in the Garden of Eden. Since that time, there have been many talented, intelligent, and powerful people. However, none of these who's ever lived is able to match the Antichrist. He's going to be powerful. He's going to be intelligent. He's going to be brutal. He's going to be ruthless. And he's going to be efficient. He'll represent the top of all that man can achieve apart from God. First, we know the Bible says the rapture will take place. Rapture is never mentioned. That word is never mentioned in the Bible. But from the Greek, we understand it means a catching away. A true believer will realize, if you've never heard that term before, it means that Jesus Christ will return with a shout and call those who have trusted him to come up to be with him and join him in heaven. And those dead in Christ will join those that are alive, and they shall cut up in the air to meet the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. I once knew what the calculation was for a twinkling of an eye, but I can tell you it's faster than you can blink. That can happen at any moment. We talked about that last night. Any moment, tonight. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. I don't know if they'll have fishing. I hope they do. I hope they have fruit trees. I enjoyed that fruit salad tonight at dinner. I enjoyed everything tonight. Too much. I wonder if they'll have baseball. You've heard that story. Will they have baseball in heaven? Guy, you've heard that story. One guy told his friend, he said, well, if you die, go up to heaven. Let me know if they have baseball in heaven. He said, okay, I'll let you know. And so his friend died. A little bit later, he came back and he said, hey, I've got some good news and bad news. what is it? He goes, yes, they have baseball in heaven. He said, what's the bad news? You're pitching tomorrow. And so I don't know what they're going to have in heaven. I don't care what they have in heaven, as long as I'm in heaven. That's all that matters. Then after the rapture begins the 70th week of Daniel, chapter 9, the last week. Now, who is this Antichrist? Daniel says, in the end times, a fierce king will stand up, 8:23. There's other signs of his appearing. Can we know when this man will appear? The answer is yes and no. I'm certain that nobody knows who the Antichrist is. There have been a lot of people who speculated who the Antichrist is. I remember when they thought the Antichrist was Henry Kissinger. Some people have had other people names in mind of who the Antichrist is. But it means someone who opposes or takes the place of the true Messiah. He is going to appear to the Jewish people as the Messiah. They're going to think he's the Messiah. All the witnessing I've done and all the rejections they've made, there will come a time when the people who see this man will believe that he's the Messiah. I don't know about you, but I don't think there's ever been a time in my life when I've seen circumstances in this world in such a way that it's not ready for someone to step in and come in and take control, who's powerful enough to say, I can solve all these problems. I can make sure that tomorrow you'll never have to wear a mask again. You will not have to have a corona vaccine. You will not have to social distance. You can go back to baseball games. They just said today, the NFL, they'll be having football games with no fans. One of the funniest things I saw was baseball the other day when they were playing a baseball game and they had to cut out pictures of people back behind the backstop. The Antichrist would say, don't worry about it. Head on back to the ball field. And you worry about money, coins being shortage. There's no more coin shortage. There's no more money problems. In fact, you don't even have to worry about money anymore. I'm going to provide everything for you. He's going to be the ultimate socialist. Health insurance, don't worry, you'll have it. You'll be able to go to the doctor. You'll be able to do anything you want. Everything will be given to you. And you don't have to worry about it. It's interesting, he's going to deceive the Jews into thinking they finally had the peace that they've longed for. They will believe they have found the Messiah. When the church is raptured, the Bible indicates the Jews will sign a peace treaty. Right here it says he'll confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 year period of time. They're going to believe that he is the Messiah, a new world dictator. Now, who is the Antichrist? The Antichrist will imitate the real Jewish Messiah. Christ was a man, the man Christ Jesus. Antichrist will be, as the Bible says, that man of sin. Jesus did miracles, as we read, approved by God among you. Miracles, wonders, and signs, according to Acts 2:22. So will Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Christ is shown riding a white horse in Revelation 19:11. So is the Antichrist in Revelation 6:2. Christ is called the morning star in Revelation 22:16. So is the Antichrist in Isaiah 14:12. Christ rose from the dead, according to Acts 10:41. So will the Antichrist, according to Revelation 13:3. The followers of Christ will be sealed in their foreheads, Revelation 7:3. So will be the followers of the beast, Revelation 13:16. Jesus is called the Christ. The other is called the Antichrist. Jesus is called the Son of God. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition. One is called the seed of the woman. The other is called the seed of the serpent. One is called the holy one. The other is called the wicked one. One is called the glorious branch. The other is called the abominable branch. Christ was rejected of men. Antichrist will be accepted by men. Christ was received into heaven. The Antichrist, praise God, will be cast down into a lake of fire. The Antichrist will have great abilities. He'll be a man of popularity. Revelation 6:2 says this man will be given a crown. This means the world will embrace him as a godsend. No doubt he'll arrive in the scene with a workable formula for world peace. I'll tell you, the world's ready for that right now. They're ready for something. This is all that's happening now. This is the beginning. What if the Lord Jesus returns tonight and all this corona stuff is going on and everything else is happening and the economy and the problems with politicians and everything. And this man will step up and he'll say, don't worry, I can solve it all. I'm going to sign a peace agreement with the Israelis. They accept me as the Messiah and I'm going to take care of the whole thing. Boy, we're set up for it right now. He'll have an explanation for the disappearance of all the Christians. He'll have something. I don't know what he'll say. He'll be everything that the world has looked for in a leader. We're in a difficult time right now. I've got to the point now. I mean, I watch the news. I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't. You know, if you watch the news a lot, I think it ruins you worse than it helps you. If you watch the news, you'll see we're in a fix. If somehow, and I don't want to get political. Huh? I'm not happy with everything Donald Trump does. But I'll tell you what. If the other man gets elected, we are in for trouble. He hates Israel. He's for abortion. He's for gay rights. We're in trouble. I don't care how much free stuff they give me. I don't need their free stuff. I'd rather eat a can of Spam than take the stuff they want to give me. But we're in trouble. And it's not looking good. And if that happens, we're even closer. Everything the world has looked for, he'll be that man. He'll be a man of peace, at least in the beginning. Revelation 6:2 says he'll be riding a white horse. That gives the appearance of a good person. It'll say he has a bow, but no arrows, indicating he's not come to make war, but to make peace. The world's looking for a leader like this. It's tired of war and pandemics. I'm tired of this. I want to get back to work. This missions conference is the best thing that's happened to me since March. I'm tired of sitting at home. I'm tired of being told I can't go near anybody. I'm tired of this stuff. Amen. If somehow I get the coronavirus and die, that's all right. I'm still not going to lose. He'll fix the broken economy. He'll fix the House of Representatives. He'll be a man of prosperity. He'll control the wealth of the world. He'll bring prosperity to those who've lived in poverty. If you're here tonight and you're not wealthy, and I don't know how many people there are that are, but if you're not wealthy and you're struggling, and there's a lot of people struggling in this country right now, they have lost their job. Millions have lost their jobs, and now they don't even have unemployment that they paid for in their jobs. He'll bring prosperity to those people. Don't worry about unemployment. I'll take care of you. Whatever you need, you got it. He'll be a man of power. He'll eventually rule the whole world. Men will not recognize the fact that he gets all his power from Satan himself. Sounds like a very bad ending for the world, but there's good news. The Antichrist will be afflicted. His end will be sudden, Daniel 8:25 says. The Antichrist will be broken without a hand. That means he'll be defeated, but not by man. God will defeat him. 3.5 years we'll have peace in this world. He'll have a peace agreement. 3.5 years, everybody's going to be so happy. Finally, we have peace. In the middle of 3.5 years, he cuts off that peace, and the true meaning of who this man is will be revealed. He'll be worse than Hitler. The Bible says, if you study it, that 2/3 of all the people on the face of the earth will be killed. Think about that. That means 2 out of every 3 people in this room will be killed. Well, not in this room, but if you're here tonight and you're a believer, none of us will be. We don't have to worry about that, but the world that's still here. And what about them? I really believe the Bible makes it clear, and you can differ with me on this fact, but the Bible says that if you've heard the gospel and the Lord Jesus returns, the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion and they'll believe a lie. And I really truly believe that it means that if a person has heard the gospel, and that means if you're here tonight and you're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you reject it, then you go into the tribulation period, you probably will not be saved. You'll be the one who thinks this is Antichrist is the Messiah himself. Already they're setting us up for a vaccine with who knows what in it. Microchips. And the Bible makes it very clear that the Antichrist will microchip everybody. And if you don't get that microchip, it won't be this, I may want to take it. It may not be, it's not going to be voluntary. Where I don't have to do it. It's going to be either you do it or you don't buy anything. You don't sell anything. You can't live. And everybody will do it. But the Bible says he'll be overthrown. A supernatural defeat. His end will be serious. The Antichrist will enter the lake of fire alive, according to Revelation 19:20. And then 1,000 years later, Satan himself will be judged and condemned to the lake of fire. This man, like so many others, found himself on the wrong side. Friends, what side are you on tonight? Are you in line with the Word of God? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If so, you'll never see the Antichrist in this world. I don't know how much we're allowed to see from heaven, but you'll never see the Antichrist in this world. If so, you'll be in heaven in the presence of the Lord while the world suffers tribulation. And this brother here sings in that heavenly choir.
Amen.
I'll have probably another job because I can't sing. I don't know if I'll be in the choir. I don't care what I do there. I'll clean the street of gold. I learned something this week. I always sang that song, The Streets of Gold. But he said, there's only one street. But I'll clean it if I have to. I'll polish that gold for all of eternity. Being thankful that Jesus saved me. If you haven't accepted Christ, then tonight you need to be saved. You're on the wrong side. If the Lord doesn't come in your lifetime, you'll die and go to hell. If you don't get right with God, you say, that's pretty hard. That's pretty sound, pretty difficult. You sound like we don't have much of a choice. Oh, you have all the choice you want. You can say no. And a lot of people do. I've had a lot of people say no to me. But I've also known that one day they're going to stand before God and they're going to say, you know what? I was in a congregation in Winchester, Kentucky, and I heard this Jewish man talk about Jesus Christ. And I heard him preach about the fact that I needed to get saved and I didn't do it. And God's going to say, you depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're going to say, why didn't I do that? Just like the rich man in hell. Where do you stand tonight? If you're not saved, I'd ask you to look into your life and see where you're going. I tried to paint a picture of the Antichrist and the end times for you to show you that this is going to happen. It's reality. The Antichrist is going to be a terrible person. The world is going to be a terrible place. And during that 3.5 years, there will be tribulations and there will be plagues and there will be bowls and there'll be seals and there'll be judgments like men have never seen before. And if you're not saved and you go into the tribulation period, you'll be there and you'll be in torment and you'll say, oh, I wish I could die. But you won't be able to. You won't be able to kill yourself. You won't be able to die. You'll have to suffer this pain and torment. And then at the very end, die and go into the lake of fire. I ask you tonight to check your heart. If you don't know him, would you trust him tonight? You know, Daniel, and I'm done. When he looked into these things, the Bible says that he fainted and became sick. He saw these things And he actually, the Bible says, that he fainted and got sick. I'll tell you what, I'd faint and get sick too if I saw those things and didn't accept him. What effect do these words have on your heart tonight? You say, I got plenty of time. I'll get saved tomorrow night. Oh, I got plenty of time. I can do it anytime. Right before I die, I'll do it. We don't have guarantee of 5 more seconds. 5 more seconds. This could be the last message I ever speak. This could be the last service you ever attend. And I beseech you, I beg you, check your heart. If you're not saved, would you trust Jesus tonight? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you now for this night. Lord, I hope you'll help us to see the picture of the future, of the end times, of the Antichrist. And Heavenly Father, I pray that if there's someone here that's never trusted Christ, that you'd bring him to the place of repentance tonight. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come.